3:33, the time we visit with our man at Vegas, Todd Furman, Wednesdays at 3:30. Guess what? It's time. Todd, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, Brent. Survived my trip to Nashville, although I did almost drive off the road after you calling me Rain Man on air, headed back from the Jack Daniel's distillery on Monday.
How was Jack Daniel's?
Yeah, that might not have had anything to do with me calling you Rain Man.
You know what? Normally I would agree with you guys and say it wouldn't have anything to do with it, but it's in a dry county. Talk about a buzzkill.
Yeah, that's right. We did tell you that before you went out there.
So you guys did. You informed me of that. I thought you guys were pulling my leg, but no, the tour was tremendous. I mean, the hospitality out there from our tour guide and everything else, just tremendous. I mean, to go and realize that, hey, Jack Daniel's goes to every corner of the globe, and it's done right there in Lynchburg. Absolutely incredible.
Well, Todd, I know a lot of our listeners had a chance to meet you on Friday, and I read where you guys met up with some listeners when you went out on Saturday, and I hope you had a good time. What all did you do when you were here?
I definitely had a good time. I mean, after we did the show, I know I met a couple listeners at Tin Roof, which great vibe, and the hospitality there was great. Saturday, I ended up going up to Sam's Sports Bar. I think I sat at the bar for a good 4.5-5 hours watching college basketball and taking in some Happen Harry's, plenty of that. And then the Atmosphere Memorial Gym on Saturday night, second to none. Unfortunately for the Commodores, I mean, despite that huge second-half surge, just couldn't get over the hump and pull off the improbable upset.
All right, so what are you looking at tonight? Arkansas at Tennessee. Arkansas 0-5 on the road. Tennessee just one loss at home in conference play, and that's a three-point loss to Kentucky. Well, how do you see that game?
This was a game I talked to Clay about, and I thought the number would come out, you know, in that 3.5 to 4 range. That's where my power numbers have it. Number actually opened at 6.5 and has been bet up to 7.5. I think it's awfully high. I know Tennessee is 9-2-1 at home this year against the number, but when you talk about teams who come in off a double-digit straight-up win as an underdog, like Tennessee did at Florida, then have to turn around and lay this kind of price tag, I think Arkansas can hang around for 20 minutes, and the Hogs' road record is terrible, but I think this is a game if Tennessee's not focused, Arkansas will pull the road win.
Whoa.
Interesting.
All right.
They hadn't won a road game, right?
No.
Man.
No, they've been dreadful, Blaine. I mean, their effort at Georgia might have been the worst I've seen a team look away from home all season long.
All right, Todd, this is going to prove how enmeshed I'm getting in the gambling culture. When I read all this TCU stuff and I see that this is a six-month investigation, my first thought is, wow, if a cop knew about what was going down and knew some of these players involved, they could really kind of swing what the lines could or should be, right, in games like this?
There's no doubt speculation like that will run rampant, and you hate to try and insinuate that anything went on. I mean, TCU, there was no irregularities in any of their line moves, but you really don't know what goes on behind the scenes for any of these college kids, and if an investigation has gone on for this long, what could possibly be out there?
And that's what I was going to say. When's the last time you remember a peculiar betting pattern going on, kind of noticing it, but not necessarily it rising to the level of willing to pull the line, and then shortly thereafter some news comes out and you're like, okay, clearly there was some knowledge out there that was adjusting what was going on?
In all honesty, we really don't see a whole lot through our books out in Las Vegas. A lot of it takes place in, you know, other bookmaking shops. Hawaii, a prime example this year, when all those stories broke about alleged point shaving and everything else along those lines, we didn't see any irregular betting out here in Las Vegas. We saw some numbers move, and we saw some, you know, bettors come in. UNLV Hawaii game had some heavy money come in on the Rebels, but nothing to arise suspicions. Therefore, as a result, you know, we just go about business as usual, and you're always fascinated as a bookmaker when these stories, you know, emerge into pop culture.
Hmm. Todd, I was wondering, I don't know if we ever asked you this. Maybe you did and answered, but I don't remember, about the Super Bowl. How did you guys do, or Vegas do, with all the betting with the Patriots favored and then all the money maybe going in for the Giants? Tell us how that all worked out and, you know, what happened with that.
Sure. Full game wagering actually ended up being close to a wash. We took plenty of public money on the Giants, including a lot of money line action there. But in about the hour leading up till kickoff, it was a steady flow of Patriots money. Prop bets outside of the safety that cost us a nice chunk, like it did most books. I mean, we ended up pretty positively from all those, especially because the Brady and Eli Manning passing props, a lot of those came in under. But the real boon for us was the second half wagering. Everybody wanted to bet the Patriots in the over, and as we saw, that game didn't sniff the total of 27.5. And despite the Patriots' quick start, I mean, they definitely didn't cover the 2.5 for the second half.
Cool. I was wondering now, you know, everybody's watching this, the Legend of Lin, let's just say, with the New York Knicks. I'm wondering, has that changed, you know, are they moving up in the Eastern Conference, or, you know, with them going in and winning the NBA championship or anything like that?
Oh, we actually did do quite a bit, and it's funny. I was with Brent on Friday night at Tin Roof, and we're watching the game, and everybody in that bar was turned watching the TV, and from the way a gambler and a bookmaker think, my immediate reaction was to contact my staff and make sure we started to drop the Knicks' future odds. So we've gone from 40-1, where they were on Friday night, into the high 20s at this point. Not necessarily because their chances have really improved, but anticipation of the huge public support we've started to see for the Knicks.
Todd Furman from Caesars Entertainment, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Throw that H in the middle of his last name. And that is true. He did that at Tin Roof, as Jeremy Lin went off at 38 against the Lakers.
Well, the NBA still, I need to know, will Dwight Howard get traded, and how do you guys, that's not considered a prop bet, really, is it?
No, we can't do any props about player movement or free agents. We would have loved to do something with Prince Fielder this year to try and set a board, because I imagine there were very few people out there who believed he'd land as a Tiger. But at the same time, with Dwight Howard, I think he does get dealt. And in all honesty, that'll affect Orlando Magic lines probably by about 4.5 to 5 points. This has been one of the toughest teams to try and set power numbers on, though, already this year, because they rely so much on the outside jumper.
Here's the other thing, Todd, and tell the story, if you will. People that follow you on Twitter take you very, very seriously because of what you do. I mean, you're helping to set point spreads for Caesars Entertainment. You threw out like a sarcastic tweet during that Jeremy Lin explosion the other night, and that got some interesting responses.
It definitely did. And what's funny is I actually just did a podcast with Chad Millman for his Beyond the Bets at ESPN that'll be available, talking a little more about Jeremy Lin. But sent out a tweet that said, you know, Jeremy Lin's odds to win NBA MVP have gone from 500-1 to even money on the strength of his recent three-game performance. Got a number of responses, so from now on moving forward, I realize bookmakers aren't comedians, so I'll try and hashtag anything with sarcasm or joke to try and make sure some of my followers know exactly
what's
going on.
It's really funny. Sarcasm font is what you need. Matt on Twitter, can y'all ask Todd about Michigan-Bama, hearing it's been bet up to 13 in some places?
We actually don't have the number. I know Five Dimes posted a game of the year line on it at 7.5, which I thought was a little bit low. Number out to 13.5 from talking to some of the sources there.
Wow.
At the same time, people need to keep in perspective that the limits it takes to move a number 6 points this far out, a lot different than what it'll take when we actually hang opening numbers for that particular game in the middle of August. I know it's a game Clay will have his eyes on, probably going to be in attendance for it.
I can't wait. Yeah, that's the game in Jerry World, the follow-up to Auburn, I mean to Oregon and LSU. Todd, what about, we've been talking about this Thursday game for Vanderbilt,
right,
as being a key game. They'll go on the road, I believe it's at Ole Miss. What kind of line are you expecting to see? I know it's tomorrow, but what do you see about that matchup?
This has been an Ole Miss team that's struggling. I thought they would perform a little better this year than what they've done. At the same time, this is one of those intangible games that Vanderbilt's really got to show if they're going to be considered an elite team. This is one they have to win. I think this number will open up at the 2.5 to 3 range, which is always danger territory when you talk about a road favorite, especially in conference, if Vanderbilt's too busy licking their wounds from the one that got away on Saturday against Kentucky.
What about North Carolina State, Tennessee? Take a look at that one yet?
NC State, Tennessee, for a football side of things, I think you'll see the Vols probably open about 4 to 4.5 point favorites in that particular game. One game of note, though, that I was a little surprised that some of the offshores have hung. Clemson actually opened a 4.5 point favorite over Auburn for one of the early season kickoffs. I don't care if they play a game on the moon. It's awfully tough to make the ACC a favorite over even a middle-of-the-pack team in the SEC West.
That's the same weekend. That's the they're right, playing two of those kickoff classic games, ACC versus SEC. They may change the dates, but that's happening in the same place.
In Atlanta.
I got you.
In Atlanta,
and,
yeah.
And the games in Atlanta, too, in all honesty, they've always been high-scoring affairs typically, especially when you play on a faster track. But that game really jumped out at me because my power numbers don't have Clemson nearly as high as some people. NC State, they always finish the year strong, but typically start a little bit slower. I know Tennessee has some of their own internal issues that they'll have to get resolved before we get the kickoff of that game.
Well done, Todd. Good stuff, brother. It's good seeing you last weekend.
Hey, always a pleasure
no
being
doubt.
On, guys, and it was great meeting a lot of the listeners, and I can't thank you guys enough for the hospitality. Great spending time down there and enjoying the city that you guys get to call home.
Thank you, brother.